The following podcast is a presentation of Sunridge Community Church.
Well, we're in a series called The Epic Journey, and as you probably guessed, we're going to be talking about the significant figure in the Old Testament named Noah. A little bit of review, just to catch some of you up to speed as to where we've come and where this journey, I think, is really going to take us. We started in the beginning, and that is God created. And there was something beautiful about the chaos that God began with, and we talked about oftentimes a fresh start begins chaotically. Verse 2 of Genesis 1, and it was without form and void, and it was a mess. But the Spirit of God was hovering just above the surface. And so God's presence was there right in the beginning of this wonderful birthing of the new. And human beings, the crown jewel of creation, were placed on the planet. And as we saw last week, it was a big mistake. Big mistake. Changed everything. And there was the beginning of something that we now, as we go through this epic journey, God's story and how God invites us into that, how that big mistake is something that God is actually initiating to make solution take place. We're going to look at Noah. And one of the things that, before we really get into the story, is there's real crisis that we're going to be looking at today within the story of Noah, clearly. And I don't know of a way to do this well, but I do want to talk a little bit about our church. And there's some crisis right now within our church that I think it's just important for you to know the truth about. And this is something that we, as leaders, are really wanting to take responsibility for, but we do find ourselves in a place, friends, quite honestly, where there is a financial crisis that we find ourselves in right now today. And I think it's good for you to know. And I think what I want you to know and what I want you to take with you as we go through this message of Noah is something that I'm trying to take with me too, and that is, you know, God works right in the middle of chaos. And, you know, our present situation right now, as I'm sure is no surprise to any of you that have been around Sunridge for a while, you've seen, you know, our little financial information on the program, and it gives you what we need, and it gives you what we've budgeted for, and we've been, you know, those numbers have been far apart now for an extended period of time. And that can only go on for so long, and then there comes a point in time when people that want to be diligent, good stewards, wise, they get together in a room, and they say, okay, it's leadership time, and we need to do that. We want to give you some information about the realities of what it is that I am raising by way of crisis. It's a 911, clearly. But our family meeting immediately following this service, for any of you that make this, you know, place your home, for those of you that are maybe even wondering about making Sunridge a place where you can experience God in this way, I would really ask if you could to take 15, 20 minutes to come. We're going to be meeting over in the youth center. And so immediately after this, we're going to just move through there. And there's going to be some information that I would really like for those of you that would apply to hear. And at the same time, to remind you, as this church has been, we're coming up to our 12th anniversary here, October, Thanksgiving. God has always provided. That's our story. God has always provided. And I just want to remind you, as I remind myself, the same thing. This church is God's. And so whatever needs to take place in order for healthy and good decisions and movements to take place, I believe that there's some great leaders in this church, and we're going to make sure that, you know, that those things take place. And I'm very, very pleased that I get to be in a circle with others. And so we met this morning, and it was felt that, you know, normally we would bring this to a family meeting. It was thought, you know what, we need to honor the people. We need to honor you. We need to tell you the truth. And that's the truth. So there's some real crisis going on in the life of Noah. I mean, his world is chaotic. His world is just in a bad place. And I think sometimes it's so easy for us when we look around, as we can look around in our world too, we can see some real hard things. There's brokenness just like everywhere. We see corruption in leadership, government. I mean, we see a lot of bad things. And it would be very easy for us, wouldn't it, to just simply say, you know, what am I going to do? What can I do? What can one person do? And this is just the coolest thing about the story of Noah, because there's one man that just listens to God, and things change. I want to just talk with you about this man named Noah, but I don't want to just lift the story of this man. I want you to enter his story and ask yourself this. Wow, one person made that kind of a difference. I wonder what God would ask of me. I wonder what God is wanting me to be listening for. So that's where we're going. I want to pray, and then I want to just open the Bible. Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for this man named Noah that we are going to learn about and be challenged by. I pray, God, that as we enter into what it is that your Spirit is saying, that we would really be attentive. We would really be leaning into what it is, God, you want us to hear and how you want us to live. Be with me, God. May I be very faithful to the task of doing my best to have your word speak. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you got your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to just start by looking a little bit at what it was like in Noah's day, Noah's world. And there are some things that we can learn just from what it would, must have been like to live in the day that Noah lived. And understand what God did through Noah, we need to actually really understand the world that Noah faced. And that might be really helpful for us. Listen to what the world was like in Noah's time. Verse 5 of chapter 6 of Genesis. The Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, just don't miss that. That's what God saw. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man from whom I created from the face of the land, man, animals, creeping things, birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. Now listen, what would cause God to make such a harsh statement? I mean, every intention, every thought, everything they're about is all evil, continually. Well, I don't think it takes much imagination to guess. That's the kind of world that Noah was in. That's what he faced. I mean, these people of Noah's day, they probably talked about God. They probably knew about God. The problem, though, is that there was not really a place in their life, in the way they lived, where God really took residence. It was not really number one in the way that he lived out his life, these people in Noah's day. And so morality was determined by personal choice, not by God's standards. And we'd looked at that last night. Where did they inherit that from? From grandpa. That's where that comes from. They were choosing the life that they wanted to lead based upon the decision that Adam made many years before. So now if you think about, okay, that was Noah's world. Well, what does our world look like? It's not a stretch. We see the same thing. As a matter of fact, here's a picture of Paul's world. And again, just maybe time frame would maybe help you. Now, depending on how things get dated, you know, we have the creation story, God birthing the new. Now, whatever we want to date that, we've got this man named Adam, and some of the information that we have in Scripture, we're going to just give it an early date. There's later dates. There's but we'll give it an early, it's like 4,000 BC. So then this time frame from Adam's big mistake to Noah, we're moving to 2300 BC. So there's some time that has taken place. And so what took place in the garden to what we're looking at today in the life of Noah is some significant years that have gone by. Okay, so if that's true, let's then just have a peek at what Paul's world would have been. And so now we're looking at 30, 40, 50 AD. This is what Paul pens in the book of Romans. Chapter 3:10 says, "There is none righteous, none that do good, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless." Pretty hard on the self-esteem, eh? Listen to this. "There is no one who does good, not even one." Well, that's the world that Paul is seeing. And again, I'd say, I mean, not much has changed, you think? Here's just something that you can muse on as I did. Let's just quickly think of the TV shows that we see. Think of the music that we listen to. Think of the media that we're hit with. Think of what's on the internet. And if you just kind of do a quick survey, how many of the Ten Commandments get broken every time we're exposed to that? Like a lot. I mean, do we actually see a great movie without someone getting killed? I'm guilty here, friends. Like, somebody better get killed. I mean, it better have something. I mean, that's awful. How about faithfulness in marriage? How many movies do you actually see or messages that you hear where there's faithfulness and that makes the top 10 by way of movies to see? What about F-bombs and how we rationalize when those make it into what it is we expose ourselves to? And I guess the question I'm asking myself, and I want to ask you too, why doesn't it alarm us when we see such a violation to what we really know is in the heart of God? Why? And here's the staggering answer to me. Because I'm used to it. I've grown accustomed to it. It's normal. And we just slowly have grown to be okay with it over a long period of time. And that's the hard part, isn't it? In Noah's day, people had spirituality, but they had just taken God out of it. In Noah's day, I mean, there was an awful lot of practice, multiple gods, but not the God, not the true God, not the Most High God. I mean, God had promised, always has, there is always going to be a remnant of believers that are faithful to me. And friends, in a lot of ways, that's us today. And we must never, ever stop to pray that Jesus be made known in a way that only Jesus can be made known. But there's something about the world that Noah was living in, that Paul was living in, and that you and I are living in. There's a lot of similarities to that. Well, let's look a little bit at Noah the man. What's he like? It tells us that in verse 8, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah," verse 9. "Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation, and Noah walked with God." Now, it says Noah found favor. Now, this is very clearly, he didn't earn it. He was given favor. Noah was an imperfect man. Noah made a lot of mistakes, just like you and I. He was ordinary and imperfect, but he loved God, and he walked with God. He was a passionate, committed follower of Jesus. This is what he was. And for whatever reason, God deemed him, okay, you're a righteous guy. You're a righteous guy. So there's something just, we have to understand, yes, he's righteous. Well, why? Because he loved God, and he walked with God. And we could conclude that he must have had some decent relationships with people. At least we're not told that he had bad ones. Now, I've often imagined Noah and what it would have been like to be an outsider looking at this whole guy. He's a little weird. Okay, he's building a boat. He's building a boat. Well, on his front yard. He's building a boat on his front yard. And so, I mean, I don't know if people would, you know, question, you know, his sincerity. I think they'd question his sanity. I think that he must have had a good heart. I think people must have felt that Noah was crazy Noah, but there was something odd and strange about the man. But he walked with God, and there was just something about what he was about that we would just say, yeah, he's a little odd and he's out there, and I'm not quite sure, you know, that I want to be like him. But Noah was a good man, loved God, loved his wife, loved his kids, stood for conviction, did his devotions. No Bible yet. I don't know how he did it. I need my Bible to do my devotions. He was a righteous man. And that we know about Noah. Okay, well, what's God up to? God's pretty unhappy with people. We know that. But because of this one man named Noah, God creates a plan. Here's the plan. He's going to bring a flood to destroy everything except Noah, his family, and the animals. So it goes on to say in verse 10, read with me. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. And now the earth was corrupt in God's sight. The earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. It's a bad, bad scene. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So, verse 14, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. And the ark has gone on to give us description. It's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Put a roof on it, God tells them. And make three floors, a lobby, second floor, and third floor. And that's really what God instructed Noah to do. Goes on to say in verse 17, behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. Wow. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male, female. God cares. God wants life preserved. He just needs a start-over plan. Verse 20, of all the birds, according to their kind, the animals, according to their kinds, every creeping thing on the ground, according to its kind, two of every sort shall come in to you to keep them alive. Verse 21, also, interesting verse, listen, this is interesting. Also, take with you every sort of food that is eaten. It's like a cruise, man, like buffet line. And store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Those are God's instructions. Now, here's the problem I have. I think for many of us, this story is so familiar that we can really miss the importance of what it is that God is really wanting to say through this one man named Noah. I mean, really, when you think about it, he's asked the guy to build a boat 4.5 stories high, 1.5 football fields long, and there's this plan to build this boat, and there's no water within 500 miles of his house. No water. Scholars also tell us that at this point in time in history, never rained yet. In other words, when Noah's trying to describe what is he doing, okay, you're building this boat, Noah. Why? Well, because there's a flood coming. Okay, well, how's a flood going to come? Well, it's God's going to cause it to rain. Well, what's rain? Like, people had never seen water come down from the sky before. And he's building this, you get the picture? Hard call. But he just listens to God's instructions and he does what God tells him to do. Crazy Noah. Wouldn't surprise me at all. People are planning their vacations and they're saying, I know it's the long way around, hun, but I really honestly think we should take the camels and we're going to go through Noah's place. There's this guy. He's building this thing and apparently he's halfway through. Let's just for kicks. Let's go and see this thing. You know, and I think it became a sight to see. I don't know. I mean, could it not? I would have. I would have got on a plane to see this thing. This man is serious about something to which it makes no sense to us. There's no water. There's no rain. He's building a boat to somehow eventually float away. You got to be kidding me. That's the story. All the while he's doing this, Noah is just pointing to Jesus. He's saying, there's a God, and he loves you. And you ought to walk with him. You ought to talk with him. You ought to listen to him. Nobody responds. They think he's crazy. Verse 22 says, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. I want to be like Noah. Even when it doesn't make sense. Just listening. You're going to do what you hear. Think about what happened as a result of this one man named Noah. He saves his family. He saves humanity itself. And this is the important thing for me to know, and I hope you too, and that is anytime God really wants to do something quite significant, what does he do? He uses people. I mean, he could have maybe done it another way, but he used Noah in this case. I mean, it's just interesting to me that this story, even though it's so long ago, God used an ordinary, imperfect man to do something amazingly huge. And this is so like God. He uses imperfect people. He used Moses. The guy couldn't talk. And yet he led a million people out of Egypt. He uses this young boy named David to go up to a war hero twice his size, takes him out with one rock. I mean, he uses this little boy who has some bread and some fish to feed 5,000 people. It doesn't even make sense. It's so like God to use ordinary, imperfect people to do extraordinary things. And so I just so want that as we talk about this story, that you're doing the connection of the dots just like I'm doing in my own life. Because it may not be that God tells you, you need to go home today and build an ark in your front yard. Because that's probably not going to be what God would tell you to do. But God calls you and I to something that's equally challenging. What is it? You have to lay your life down for my purposes so that I can make a difference through you in the world in which you live. You need to put your preferences down and make me the center of your life. And friends, that is costly. Maybe for some of you, you know, God is saying you need to make a financial risk take place in your own life. There's something you need to be listening to me about right here, right now. There's some people in your life, you know they need help. And you have some resources, and I want you to listen to me. Help them. You know, you might find yourself here and you say, there's something going on in our own church, and you know that there's some realities about finances here in this church, Sunridge. And I'd never want to guilt anybody of anything other than to just simply say, would you just listen to God on that? Obey him on that. Take the time to hear him and obey. Maybe for some, you just need to understand God, for whatever reason, has allowed you to be spoken of falsely. And you need to accept it. And you need to love people in spite of that. Maybe for some of you, you need to go to your neighbor and you need to knock on the door and you need to just initiate friendship. You need to initiate a coffee. You need to introduce yourself, your name. You need to say, I want to just have some time to be with you. I do know that this is clear for all of us, and that is Jesus says, I want you all to be super clear. You got to carry your cross. In other words, friends, for us to understand what it is that God is saying to us, it's costly. It's not comfortable. It never was intended to be. It's a sacrifice that you and I have to decide, are we going to do that? Just as Noah did. It was not an easy deal to build a boat. Not for as many years as it took him. And the strangeness of that whole story, it was costly, I'm sure. So one person can make a difference, friends. One person who listens to God and just does what God asks us to do can really make a difference. And he's not looking for perfection. He's actually knowing we're all imperfect people. But if we've got willing hearts, there's amazingly powerful things that God wants to do in and through us. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things, not because we're clever, and not because we're smart, and not because we're extraordinarily gifted, but because God just said, this is what I want you to do. We're listening, and then we're doing. Always, always, though, involves a sacrifice. In other words, to step forward with God, we have to be willing. We have to be willing to step out. You can't stand in one spot and move forward, can you? There needs to be something we do. There needs to be something we move toward. God is looking for those that just dare to trust him. Noah just listened. And when we decide to do the same, we have to be really clear, and I think it's really important you hear this. It's not to be taken lightly. The decision to do what it is we're talking about here this morning, to just say, okay, God, I am going to surrender my will, my intentions, my preferences, my deal, my stuff to you. That's big, man. Hey, that's big. He's just looking for ordinary people. Over and over and over, that's what God does. And so today, the stakes are just as high as they were in Noah's day. Now, there's no coming judgment flood. God gave us the promise with the rainbow. But we do know that there is a coming judgment that is certainly going to be judging the righteous from the unrighteous. And that's a choice that you and I need to make. We really do need to make that choice. That's a decision, personally, that each of us need to make. And as for me, I just really want to stand before Jesus one day and be judged righteous. Not because I'm such a great guy, because I'm not. I'm a sinner that needs forgiving. And until or unless we come to the reality that each of us are in that same predicament, that we have sin within that needs forgiving, friends, that's a bleak future. The stakes are just as high today as they were in the days of Noah. And we need to understand that without the saving grace of Jesus and the sacrifice that he made on the cross and for the forgiveness of sin, and if we don't understand that by the fact that he hung on that cross, and he bled and he died, and through that he paid the price that we're invited to take part in, we're standing outside. We're standing outside the ark. We're standing outside God's plan. We're standing on our own, and the judgment on that is going to be harsh, swift, and right. It'll just be apart from God because we chose it that way. So, yeah. There's some things here that really need to be just somehow sorted through. And that is, there's a God that is wanting to say something to you. Are you listening? Do you understand that God can do something significant through one person that is just listening and obedient to him? Just as in the days of Noah, we are faced with a choice. And you can be among those that are walking with Jesus, or you, we, myself, we can be those that don't. Our choice. Noah just listened. He just listened. And I want to give us an opportunity to do the same. Because the story of Noah is really just repeating itself out in our day as well. It really is. It's just repeating itself over and over. Will you choose to listen? And sometimes our life gets so loud. Sometimes my life gets so loud. I sometimes wonder when the last time I just really heard clearly from God. And that I was listening. And not only did I listen, but I did what he asked me to do. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. And we're going to respond in worship. But I do want us to, before we make any noise happen. I really want us to just have some quiet. And I'm going to guide us in this a little bit. I want us to understand that there is a God that's alive. There's a God that is sovereign, sovereign being, that he knows everything. He's not surprised by anything. You may have circumstances in your life right now that are really, really hard. You may have circumstances in your life that look bleak and really you have no idea what to do with. As a church, we're facing some of that right now. Friends, listen, I have absolute belief in a sovereign God. And I think sometimes these things are good for us to walk through just simply because God wants our attention. Why would God want our attention? He wants to say something. Are we listening? I want us to just for the next few moments, and I know that silence can be so loud, but I really am going to just ask that the room just still itself. And I want really only one thing, and that is for you to say to yourself before you and God, God, right now, I am placing myself in a listening posture. What do you want me to hear? And I'm just going to give us a few moments right now. Now, before I pray, I want to say that I really do believe that God loves to talk to his children. I hope that there's some of you here this morning that are surprised by what you just heard. I really pray that there's individuals that would say, that I think was God. And I think he just gave me an impression, or he gave me an idea, or he gave me a word. Maybe what you heard was for you to engage and move outside of your world and to reach out to somebody that's hurting and broken. Maybe God convicted you of something that you've taken that doesn't belong to you. You need to make that right. Maybe God reminded you of loving words, but also reminded you that you gave unloving words to someone they didn't deserve, and you need to make that right. Just listen to God. Father in heaven, right now we just ask you would not stop the conversation with your people. I pray, God, that as we've looked at Noah and his life and what it is that his world was like and how an imperfect man was found righteous, God, I just pray that for all of us. I pray for those here today that they have not said yes to you, Jesus. Today would be a day where they would finally come to a point where they'd say, I am going to finally surrender my life to the living God. Jesus, forgive my sin. Take my life. Lead me. And I want to become a listener. want to walk with you, God. I pray that that would be taking place. Mostly, I just ask as a people, we just know that we're treasured by you, you love us, and you do call us to a life where it's costly. And so I pray that we would feel that, embrace that, bring that to our city. And one by one, we'd be difference makers. In Jesus, your good and beautiful and bold name, I pray.